Okay, if you have a King James Version, I would ask that you would please use that tonight if you can. So thank you, Bob, and thank all of you for listening. Tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 2. Now, I've been going through, it's about a year now. I've been looking at documenting, really, who does what. Jesus, God, Father, Christ, Spirit, and I've got it, I'm putting it in a spreadsheet. And I was going through that the other day, and I got to 1 Corinthians 2, and I realized that this is a great chapter. Now, the last time I talked about how renewed mind is literally obeying God. And I also talked about the integrity of the word, not adding to or taking from God's word. And there are at least three places in the word that God specifically says, don't add to or take away from the word. And this chapter is related to that, but there's a lot more in it. Now, most of us have probably been taught most of this chapter at one time or another. But maybe we didn't realize it's all in one place. And maybe we didn't realize the context. So 1 Corinthians 2, in your King James, if you have it, says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, but I came declaring unto you the testimony of God. And notice it says the testimony of God, not the testimony of Paul. It says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, verse 4, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So I didn't come with excellency of speech or wisdom, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, I know that many of us have been taught that signs follow believers. But notice that's not what this verse says. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. First, the speech and the preaching, then the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, which are the signs, miracles, and wonders. Now, we can see this if we turn to Mark 16:20. Mark 16:20. This is when Jesus was received up into heaven. And it's talking about the apostles. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Notice the preaching comes first and the signs come second. We can also see this in Acts 14. Turn to Acts 14:3. It says, talking about the believers, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So first the speaking, then the testimony, and the testimony is the Lord granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And we could look at Jesus as well. Jesus, when he healed people, he didn't heal people first and then teach. He taught first and then healed. So we want signs following us. We want demonstration of the Spirit and the power. How do we get that? First, we have to teach the word. First, we have to preach the word. First, we have to speak the word. So, and my speech, verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We're back in 1 Corinthians 2. That your faith, the reason that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. And I'll tell you what, all of the princes of this world will come to naught. Now, today in this time, some of us on both sides of the issue are concerned that if our guy doesn't win, it's going to be disaster. Well, let me tell you, the prince of this world, the chief prince of this world, managed to broadcast that idea. And what's really going to happen is if you trust God and walk with God, you will be fine. After all, the Apostle Paul lived in a much more repressive society than we do, and he was fine. So if your guy doesn't win, and some of us, our guy is not going to win, if your guy doesn't win, trust God. Don't worry about it. Trust God. God will take care of you. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, and then King James says, even the hidden wisdom. Now, do you see that word even? It's in italics. See that word wisdom? It's in italics. Why is it in italics? Well, italicized words in the King James are the translator's markings to show that they added that word. Why can we not put that word wisdom, for example, into the text? It's talking about we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden then is really talking about the hidden wisdom, right? So why can we not put that word in the text? First of all, because God says at least three times in his word, don't add to the word, don't take away from it. So that's the main reason, but there's another reason too. If we leave that word wisdom in, we lose the figure of speech. This is a figure of speech. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden. And this particular figure of speech is the figure ellipsis. Ellipsis is when a word, usually an important word, is left out. And it's left out for a reason. When you leave out that word, that draws attention to that verse. We use figures of speech in the same way. God uses figures of speech to mark that which is important in his word. We do the same thing. So this leaving out the word wisdom draws your attention to this verse. It tells you this is an important verse because it has that figure of speech, ellipsis. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And this verse that's important here in verse 7 leads us into verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now I'll tell you something. I was raised in a church. I was a choir director's kid. And let me tell you, To all you preachers kids out there, the PK and the CDK are about the same. We all get the same stuff. But I never heard this verse in the church I went to when I was a kid. I never once heard it. As a matter of fact, I never heard it until I was an adult. And when I first heard this verse, I was literally stunned. How could that be? None of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I was just stunned. It was amazing to me. And here it is in 1 Corinthians 2 with all this other stuff. Now notice the word it. Had they known, King James puts in the word it. Scratch it out. Shouldn't be there. If you put the word it in, again, you lose the figure of speech. The figure of speech, again, is ellipsis. This particular one is ellipsis. Draws attention to the verse. It's important. This is huge. There's another figure of speech in this verse, at least one other. But the one I want you to notice is the word ellipsis, or is the figure ellipsis with the word it, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So let's continue. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amazing. But God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The interlinear translates this, which also we speak, not in words taught of human wisdom, but taught of spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And there's the figure ellipsis three times again in this verse. Not in words taught of human wisdom, but taught of spirit. The ellipsis is leaving out the word words. They're words taught of spirit, right? But not in words taught of human wisdom, but taught of spirit. Ellipsis. Comparing spiritual and the words that's translated spiritual thing, that's one word in the Greek. I'm not sure that the word things is implied there. But spiritual is an adjective. In modern English, we don't leave an adjective hanging. We have an adjective that's attached to a noun or a pronoun. So they put the word things in there to be the noun attached to the adjective. I believe that should be also an ellipsis. And then comparing spiritual with spiritual, the second word spiritual is also one word. So what is it? Spiritual means, ways, methods, words, men. Some versions translate it spiritual men. I don't see the word men in that verse. I believe that also is an ellipsis. So comparing spiritual with spiritual. So we have three ellipses in this one verse talking about which things also we speak, not in words taught of human wisdom, but taught of spirit. In other words, we don't make up words to use to talk about the word. We use God's words. We use the word that God tells us to speak, especially when we're witnessing to people. We just operate the manifestations and speak what God has for us. Okay, but then it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know, and again the ellipsis, them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know. He cannot know. He cannot know. So why would we want to teach the Bible to unbelievers? They can't know. They're foolishness. So what do we teach unbelievers? How about Jesus is Lord? God raised him from the dead? If they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, they shall be saved. That they can understand. But this is another one of these verses that we've been taught separately by itself. But here it is, right here with all the others. And then it says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Again, a verse we've been taught in different places, but here it is all right together. So, what we have is, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. Verse 6, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that came not. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and knowing that the natural man doesn't receive things of the Spirit of God. So this, all of these tremendous verses, I think they're very tremendous, are here in the context of speaking God's word, using God's word, speaking the wisdom of God the way God put it forth. So that's my exhortation to you. We have the mind of Christ, and we really need to be speaking God's word using God's words. I sincerely believe that if every Christian would speak God's word using only words and phrases that are in the Bible, most of the doctrinal differences would disappear. So, Father, thank you for your word that you've given us, that is your wisdom, that is spiritual, that lasts forever. And thank you for helping us to walk with you and according to your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.